Welcome to Teaching Writing, Ideas and Strategies. Today's podcast is really the result of an instructor messaging me on Twitter, of all things, asking me for ideas about assignments to use with the book. That caused me to think, okay, where would I find that stuff? All right. And then I went and I looked and thought, we've got a syllabus. I used it the last time I taught. Heather's used it. So why don't I just post that and share that, which we did. And then Heather also dug up some of the assignments that she'd created, one particularly, which is at the start of the course, which instead of a job application thing, which tends to be done at career services at many institutions and so on, we created an assignment which is asking a student to apply for an award, a grant award kind of thing, to get hired to do certain things. And so that gives them a rhetorical situation to see themselves in. It raises their head and says, hey, there's all this stuff out there, you know, you could apply for. And sort of teaches them a little bit about how to make that application process work. So we posted those. If you go to wecanwrite.ca and look at books, and then click, if you just hover over the word books in the nav bar at the top, you'll see business communication. Click on that, and you'll get to the page that lists, that it has links to the syllabus, it has links to grading rubrics, it has links to the various assignments I'm talking about, and it has links to lesson plans. So a bunch of different really, really good stuff there. And what I'm trying to do today is sort of bring that all together for you and give you a feel for, well, how, I mean, obviously I'm interested in you using these materials to teach from our book, but in a more general, even if you're teaching from some other resources or whatever, there's lots, I think, to be sort of learned here about how you might approach this. A few years ago, I was directing a teaching and learning center at the University of Alberta. And one of the factors, one of the things that some research that came across my desk was that for many undergraduates, they will, if they don't live on campus, they will come to campus, attend their classes, do whatever they're going to do, and then they will leave. And for many of them, they won't talk to anybody all day long, which is just amazing, amazing in a bad way. And one of the things that I took from that was that we really have to try to find ways to get our students to talk to each other in class so that they've at least, when they've come to campus, they've actually talked to a live human being. So that means, for me anyways, try to get them to work in groups. And so a large part of this syllabus and our method for teaching business communication really tries to say, well, how can we get them to talk to each other, share what they know, build on that, and then build relationships as well. Both because that's a really, really good thing socially for them. It's a really good thing for the institution because this is how you retain students. But also, it's a really, really good thing for them to learn how to write. So it contributes in many, many different ways. How that shows up in our book is that we have all of these rhetorical situations in every chapter. We have two or three. And what those are occasions for students in small groups to discuss how they see that rhetorical situation. What are the demands on the person who's having to do the writing? Who are those audiences? And they can ask questions and throw ideas around. So what we like to do in class then, the core of all this, is to say, well, here's the chapter you supposedly have read. Here's a quiz. So if you go to the broadview.com site, you'll find a quiz with the answer key as well. You'll also find slides, so you can give them a quiz, you can then go over the slides, and in that way you sort of established a kind of a baseline for everybody. So even if you didn't read the chapter and you did badly on the quiz, here's the slides which tell you what you should have read. But you can sort of get everybody on the same page there in about 15 or 20 minutes, one way or another, and then say, okay, so here's this, look at this rhetorical situation. In small groups, talk about it and ask questions of the entire group. At the end of that process, you want that someone in that group to use a device. They've all got phones, but somebody might have a laptop or a computer or something like that, and send you an email with, even if it's just in point form, the notes and ideas that they've come up with from their discussion. That becomes a kind of an attendance thing, right? If they send that to you and they list the people who are in their group and who therefore contributed to what was going on, then they copy that message to everybody else who's in the group. So everybody in the group, when they go home or when they leave the class, they all have a copy of the preliminary notes they have about how maybe to approach that case. So that's a good use of time. When I look at it, it's like, well, why take a class when you have all these bodies showing up in the same place? Well, that's so that you can interact. Of course, post-pandemic, I mean, when you're, even if you can't interact in person with everybody, you can interact online. And as an instructor, you can kind of drop into these discussion groups you might have set up online for them to share their opinions and things. And if that's true, you may or may not need the email from the group summarizing their position on this. But either way, you've got a service, a record of what they were talking about in their groups, the kinds of things that they noticed and came up with, kinds of things they didn't and might need a nudge about, that kind of thing. So that gives you a sense of how things are going before it's too late, when nobody really understands the case and so on and so forth, right? At the core of the syllabus then are these each chapter, you could say, is a week worth of work. And you, if you're meeting in person a couple of times, in one time you go over, you're summarizing what's in the chapter. The next time it's about the discussion, and about, you could say, in the first meeting, you will go over the chapter, and then you do that exercise I just talked about, where you take the note, make the notes up, and then email them to you. In the second meeting, you come up, you work on creating a draft and posting that and getting some feedback to it. So if you take a look at the syllabus, if you have a chance to look at that, you'll see that that's the way we sort of organized it. And if you look down at the assignment section, you'll see we don't ask students to do a rhetorical situation or case for every chapter. What we did instead was say, every two chapters, pick one of them and then respond to the case that you might designate as the instructor. One of those two cases you have to respond to. Same deadline. And the deadline is after the second case. So they get to look at both, figure out which one they like best or think they can best respond to. And then that's the one that they then submit to you. There's a bunch of things going on behind that decision. The number one thing is that we found out that when I was directing that Center for Teaching and Learning, that profs tend to oversubscribe students. They ask them to read too much. They ask them to do too much. So what we're saying here is, you don't have to do 8 rhetorical situation responses or minor assignments for the course. First of all, it's too much for you as an instructor to grade. But more importantly, it's too much on them. Give them a choice of 2. Now they're feeling good because they don't have to do it, all of it. And you're showing some flexibility here. You're saying, well, you could do this one or you could do that one. Either one's equally challenging. It's just a different kind of challenge. So which challenge did you like? Which one do you think you could do better on? And so students have been very receptive to that. It makes it more interesting for you too. You don't get too many of the same thing. You're working in some kind of collaboration activities. You could even, I mean, I like to let students write, have multiple authors on the same document, so I'm not marking like one assignment for every student. You could do that or not, but that's another way to work that in. If they feel that they're working with people who really are seeing the assignment in the same way, maybe there's some benefit there too. So if you look at wecanwrite.ca and under books there and on the page for business communication rhetorical situations, so you'll see that syllabus, you'll see how we've kind of designed it around that, and then you'll see all of the different supporting materials. So there's the assignment I was telling you about, which has to do with applying for an award, and then there's a major assignment that we do in the course. It's writing a recommendation report. But in it, it's really 3 assignments. It's a proposal to do that recommendation report. It's the recommendation report itself. And then there's an oral presentation based on the recommendation report. So there's really 3 things there. In addition to all of those, there's a grading rubrics for all of those 3 things, as well as some sample grading rubrics for the rhetorical situations, the ones that we happen to have used when we taught the course. So the last thing I'd sort of direct your attention to has to do with the lesson plans there. And you'll see these are pretty informal, but they sort of list in point form so you can check off as you're going through this in front of other people, right? You can see I've done this part, I've done this now. Here, what's the next thing I have to do? So review chapter 1, review types of audience, review the understand your audience, and maybe do the exercise 1. Review, link your goals with reader needs, and then do a couple of exercises that follow up that. And then there's the in-class exercise that you're having students do a little bit of writing. So as you go through the different lesson plans, you kind of get a feel for the sort of pattern of the course. And in that particular course, the way we taught it then, we were doing a lot of the in the first meeting of the week, we were doing a lot of that sort of like, here's what's in the chapter, does everybody understand it kind of thing. And in the second meeting, we were actually doing some writing. So in that way, the course kind of balanced out the sort of theory, if you will, about here's what this chapter is talking about, audience and things like that. And then here's how to apply that theory to a particular situation or a rhetorical situation. Well, thanks for listening. Again, all these materials are on our website, wecanwrite.ca. The slides, the quizzes, the answer keys to the quizzes, all that material, discussion questions, that's at broadview.com. So to get access to that, you'll need to request a review copy. Thanks for listening.